And take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Thank you so much, Dr. Chappell, for allowing me to be here. It's a great honor. It's a great privilege. And I count you and your wife, Terry, as wonderful friends. And you didn't have to say that about the finest Christian. You don't know me well. Because here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to offer to all those who don't know how to take a CD, to put it in a car that does not have a CD player, for $30, for all those who come to me afterwards, I'll tell you how to get it on your car radio, because I got to pay for a building as well, and so at the church. Amen, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm going to read several verses here in just a moment. Again, I just want to say thank you. It's a great honor, and it's a great privilege to be here tonight. I'm glad you had the graduates to stand. Although I have a message that I do want to aim at each and every of the students here tonight, I want to aim it at everybody, because what I'm going to talk about here tonight, everybody has to go through. And so we're going to read a very familiar story, and we're going to make an application from this story, and I hope that God will use it here tonight. I did hear a story not too long ago about the Lone Ranger and Tonto, who had been out in the desert. And listen, I can understand that now that I seen the wind and the tumbleweeds blowing today. But the Lone Ranger and Tonto were out in the desert. They've been trying to hunt down some desperados and couldn't find them when night fell. And so they decided to make camp. They ate that of their dinner. Then they crawled into their tent and fell asleep. Well, about midnight, Tonto wakes up, looks up, and he sees something. He elbows that of the Lone Ranger, and he says, "Kimo sabe." He says, "Look up, tell me what you see and what you say." Well, the Lone Ranger looks up and he sees the beauty of the skies, and he's just caught in wonder. He said, "Isn't this amazing? Look at what God has created. Look at all the planets and that of the stars and just the moon. And boy, it's just amazing. That's what I have to say. I also have to say that because it's such a clear night, it's going to be a hot day tomorrow. And so we're going to have a long, hard time. So tell me what, Tonto, what do you see? What do you say?" "Kimo sabe, somebody stole our tent." You know, if we're not careful, when we gather to God's house, sometimes we miss the obvious. Things that God wants to communicate to us. I have one major emphasis that I want to put here tonight. And so I just want you to listen very carefully. I want you to follow with me as I read. I got a little bit of lengthy part of reading, so I want you to pay close attention. If you find a neighbor who does not have a Bible, share that Bible with them, if you will. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart." Can I just stop and say amen to that? Amen. "Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are all here thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Let's stop reading right there. Boy, this is a great story. Listen, by the time that this day started till the day ended, we find a shepherd boy that night had the anointing oil of God on his life to be the next king of Israel. You know, tonight I am wanting to talk to each of the graduates and also to the members and regular attenders of Lancaster Baptist Church. Because, you know, one of the things that we learn in life is this, is that we have to make decisions and choices every single day. And a lot of times we get caught in the mundane aspect of that we forget that those decisions can determine a future. You know, I say this many times to that of my church and to our young people is this. You know, with every decision determines a direction. And every decision determines that direction, and with every direction there is a destiny. And when you and I make right decisions, when you and I make right choices, I'm here to tell you, God has something beautiful at the end of that decision. But when we make wrong decisions and when we make that of wrong choices, at the end of that road is destruction. And so tonight, I want to preach a sermon that's entitled this, How to Make Right Choices. How to make right decisions. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to that of God's Word tonight, I pray, dear Lord, you'll bless your Word. I pray that, Lord, everybody will listen very carefully here tonight. Lord, may we not miss the obvious. May we hear that of God's simple message, that of God's simple encouragement here tonight when it comes to that of everyone here, but even to these students. Lord, they're young. They've got their life ahead of them, Lord willing. And Lord, really, depending on their decisions, depending on their choices, can determine whether they're going to be victorious for God or they're going to be tragic. There's going to be tragedy, that of a shipwreck. And Lord, we don't want any casualties among that of any of God's people. So help us here tonight. Help me, Lord. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, our text opens up here tonight with that of the nation of Israel being nationally and spiritually hitting that of rock bottom. You see, under the leadership of that of King Saul, national morals and spiritual morals have hit an all-time low. If you were to read in the previous chapters, in chapters 13 and chapters 15, we find that the Lord has rejected the first king of that of Israel. I don't have the time to go through what King Saul did, but let me just tell you, basically, every time that Saul sinned and was confronted with his sin, he would find an excuse for why he sinned. You know, an awful lot of people says, what's the difference between King Saul and King David? David sinned. Well, let me tell you, when David sinned and was confronted with his sin, he had a contrite heart. He had a broken heart. And he made it right with God. He made it right immediately when he was confronted with that sin, where King Saul was constantly trying to find an excuse. And as a result, now God has rejected that of King Saul. And as a result of that, now God has instructed Samuel. He is to go to the city of that of Bethlehem, and he's to go to the house of Jesse, and he's to go to the house of Jesse to meet his sons. And here's the reason. God is going to pick out who's going to be the next king of Israel. Now, of course, Samuel did not know which son that was going to be. God knew who it was, but Samuel did not know. God told him he's to take his horn of oil, he's to go to Jesse's house, and I will tell you who will be the next king of Israel. Now, may I remind you, Jesse had 8 sons. Now, I say that for an important reason because, listen, Samuel, and listen, in that of human terms, in that of understanding of what Samuel had to do, Samuel was going to have to make a choice. Samuel was going to have to make a decision. Now, I know you're probably already ahead of me. He says, God's already made that choice. Of course, God's already made choices for us. But we have to agree with that choice and follow through with that choice. Can I just say this? I can never overemphasize the awesome responsibility that Samuel had. You see, the future of the entire nation was at stake. You see, according to even Samuel, Samuel had a great love for Saul. And as far as in the mind of Samuel, Saul was a logical choice. He was the legal choice. He was a lovable choice. Just one problem. He was not the Lord's choice. And as a result of that, God is having to choose a new king. You see, Saul has dragged down the nation of Israel, has damaged their name. Israel could not stand another Saul. They needed somebody else. My point is this. A lot was riding on that decision. A lot was riding on that one choice. Again, I cannot overemphasize the awesome responsibility that Samuel had. He better make the right choice. Now, I want everybody to listen up to me very carefully here tonight. We all make choices every day. Now, some of those are mundane choices. What time we're going to get up, what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat. Sometimes it may be the color of the shades that we're going to use in that of the auditorium. But we all make mundane choices. But can I tell you, we also make monumental choices. Can I just say about every graduate and every student of that of West Coast Baptist College, can I tell you, you've made monumental decisions already. In fact, the most monumental decision was to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But then you also make the choice to be obedient to that of God's will. I say that because, listen, you would not be here if you didn't make that choice. Then you made the choice to attend this college after much prayer, after seeking out God. You made the choice to come to West Coast Baptist College. And by the way, I say amen to that. Amen. I'm glad my daughter, listen, I remember when my daughter was having to make that choice. There was another college she was considering, but she came to us one night weeping, because she says, God has really made it clear that I'm to go to West Coast College. And she was afraid what her mother and I, what our reaction would be, because you got to understand, I live on the other side of the globe. It's called North Carolina. We speak a different language. It's called Southern. You know, I had to learn English before I came here tonight. But can I tell you, she made the right choice. But the thing is, where you are now, you still got to understand the choices have not finished. You still need to make that of new choices and right choices. You see, I've heard someone say it this way, our life is the sum total of that of choices. Can I just illustrate that a little bit? It wasn't too long ago, I ran into a classmate of mine that I had in high school some years ago, 41 years ago that he and I were in high school together, and I ran into him just not too long ago. I had not seen him in these 40 years. But when I saw him, here's immediately what came to my mind. Pothead. Drunkard. Philanderer. Now let me tell you why that came to my mind. Because the choices he made while he was even in high school. That when I met him. Now listen, you say, preacher, you shouldn't think that. Well, does not even the Bible talk about, listen, you finish the sentence. Rahab the harlot. Now, of course, we know that Rahab got saved. And of course, we know that Rahab is in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's even mentioned in the great hall of faith and that of the book of Hebrews. But yet even there, it still calls her Rahab the harlot because of choices she made before she came to know that of God. Well, listen, can I tell you? Choices can determine reputations. The Word of God says this, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Can I say to all of us, listen, more important than any amount of money, more important than where you live, more important than any house you live or what car you drive, let me tell you, your name is valuable. And you better make right choices. Now, Samuel's going to have to make some monumental choices here. And by the way, he did make the right choice. He made the right choice. He chose that of David, a man after God's own heart, a man that is used as the measuring stick for every king after that of David, and the man that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to sit on his throne one day. He made the right choice. So here tonight, with just a little bit of time that we've got left here, I want to share with you three things here tonight about how to make right choices. So number one, let me just say this. I want to talk about the principle of making good choices. Now, in our passage here tonight, in our text here, there is a principle that is given to us about making right choices for that of your life. You see, Samuel has come to that of Bethlehem. He's come to that of Jesse's home. And he's come now and he's called the boys to come before that of Samuel. And one by one, they go before that of Samuel. And from this story, we see that a decision has been made. And this decision has been made on this principle. On this principle. Listen very carefully. I don't know if it's up on the screen, but it might be. But if it's not, listen to this. Here's how you make decisions. You make decisions not based on what you see. You make decisions based on what God says. Now, let me say that again. Let's not miss the obvious. We make decisions not based on what we see, but based on what God says. Now listen, I say that because listen, in this story, Samuel has that of Jesse's sons come before him, and one by one, and listen, he's announced to that of Jesse. He's announced to the boys. He's going to anoint that the next king of that of Israel. And by the way, I can see Jesse now. All of a sudden, he's just busting with pride. He's probably walking around like a peacock. I mean, he's happy as can be. When Eliab, the oldest, is brought before him. By the way, Eliab, his name means my father is God. Now, I don't know if his name matched his character, but I have in my mind, in my imagination, when he comes before Samuel sees him, and Samuel pulls out his horn of oil, starts screwing off, because he goes, wow, look at this guy. This guy looks good. This guy looks perfect. I don't know if he was tall. I say that based on what we're about to read in verse 7 here a little bit later. Maybe he had great stature. He probably had a handsome countenance. I don't know. But somewhere he's ready to pick him when God says, screw that cat back on. Because he's not the one. He may look good to you, Samuel, but he's not the one. So then the next son comes by. His name is that of Abinadab. His name means generosity. And probably Samuel said, oh, I get it now, Lord. I get it now. He must be a giving person. He must be one who knows how to help people. He probably has a great attitude. Lord, I get it. You want someone with a giving heart. So he whips out that horn of oil again, and he's ready to do it. When God said, no, he's not the one. Put that cap back on. Then the Bible talks to us about Shemaiah. His name means amazement. Maybe when you saw him, you would want to say, wow. Maybe he had huge muscles. Maybe he was one of great stature. And he's probably ready to pour the oil again when God says no. Then they come to the fifth, and then they come to the sixth, and then they come to the seventh. And every time, God keeps saying no. Can I tell you why? Because we need to learn the principle. We make decisions not based on what we see, but we make decisions based on what God says. Now listen, you may think that that is not a big deal, but can I tell you something? You will mess up your life if you make decisions based on what you see. Can I give you a perfect example, perfect illustration? If you were to go back to the book of Genesis and Genesis chapter 2, God had gave a command to Adam and to Eve in the garden of that of Eden, how that, listen, when it comes to that of all the trees that you can eat of this tree, this tree, this tree, this tree. In other words, yes, 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 no. He said, there's one tree you cannot eat of. By the way, can I just stop for a second? It's not my sermon. But can I tell you, we got a God who wants to say yes far more than he wants to say no. You know, you say, but there's times that God said no. It's because God had a greater yes down the road. You know, sometimes we get so hung up on the no that we miss all the yeses. God said, yes, 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 yes. But of this one tree, thou shalt not eat of, because when you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Next chapter, chapter 3, It says of Eve, here's what it says. When she saw that the tree was good for food. And can I tell you, because of that decision, based on what she saw instead of what God said, we're in a mess here tonight. And we needed God to send His Savior, to send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on an old rugged cross so that you and I can have salvation. Man, the reason there's death, the reason there's disease, the reason there's disaster is because she made a decision based on what she saw. Remember Samson? When he went down to Timnath, he saw a woman. And he made a decision. Folks, I'm just here to tell you. See, that's why we have this verse. Look, if you will, at verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now listen, I've actually had people who've used that verse, they twisted that verse and said, listen, all that God cares about is the inside. God doesn't care about the outside. Can I tell you something? I'm a country boy from North Carolina. Can I tell you, what's down in the well will come out of the bucket. And friend, I want to tell you something. God does see in a perfect light and in a perfect way. We don't. We don't. So therefore, listen, if we're going to make a decision, if it's going to be on sight, let's do it based on what God sees. And most definitely, let's do it based on what God says. See, here's the reason. What if Samuel had anointed the oldest son of Eliab? Can I tell you, he would have proven to be a bad choice? Here's how I know. Chapter 17, when David is sent by that of his father Jesse to find out what's going on in the battle with that of the Philistines. And when he gets there, David is shocked at what he sees. He sees everybody cowering before the Philistines because of the giant Goliath down in the valley. And he sees, and he says, is there not a cause? And guess who speaks up and belittles David? Eliab. He showed his true colors. By the way, who was cowering behind rocks? Who was cowering behind trees? Who should have said, I'm willing to fight Goliath? But Eliab did not. You want to know why? He lacked character, and God saw that. He saw his heart. Again, let me remind you of the principle. We make decisions not based on what we see, but on based on what God says. The principle of making good choices. Number two, the patience. The patience of making good choices. Now let me tell you, Samuel had to be patient here. When it came to making this decision, now listen, I say that because look, he had to wait for all seven to pass by. I can see it in my mind's eye. Here's Eliab, and he goes by because God has said no. And then there's that of Abinadab. He goes by and he's ready to anoint him, but God says no. Shema goes by and God has says no. Number four goes by, God has said no. Number five goes by and God says no. I have a feeling that probably Samuel's starting to sweat. He's probably saying, Lord, I'm running out of boys here. And number six goes by. Number seven goes by. What does Samuel probably, and I'm a person who always likes to think these things as stepping in their shoes. He's probably saying, what in the world, Lord? Did I miss it somewhere? I mean, these seven boys have gone by. By the way, he doesn't know about David at this time. As far as he knows, all the sons of Jesse are there. They've all gone by and God has said no. And he's wondering, should I do it again, Lord? Should I go again? Now look, if you will, at verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, speaking of Jesse, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and... Now here's how I know Samuel's a good old southern boy. Send and fetch him. I bet none of you can say fetch him like this old North Carolina boy can. Fetch him. Glory to God. You know what Samuel started thinking? Glory to God. There's another. Can I tell you? Samuel had to be patient. Can I read you this verse, Isaiah 40, verse 31? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Folks, I just want you to understand. When it comes to that of decisions, sometimes we have to be patient. I'm glad to hear that 99% of the graduates have already got a position somewhere waiting for them. But can I just want to say to all the students, all those who are still in school, those who are about to graduate, can I tell you, when it comes to any ministry, hey, can I say it this way? When it comes to a mate, learn to wait on God's choice. Please wait on God's choice. Folks, I can tell you story after story of people that I've known in my church and I've known from various walks of life that because they were impatient, they made wrong decisions. Listen, I've known of people who made a decision on the wrong mate, the wrong spouse, the wrong ministry, and as a result, they got discouraged. Can I tell you, God has something for you, but it's always going to be in His perfect timing. And you better do what God says instead of what you see. Look, I know of an awful lot of people who say, yeah, but that looks like a great place to go. There's like a great ministry. Look at what it's a large church. They've got a great impact. Can I tell you, God may have you go to a small church. God may have you go somewhere. Listen, I'm not here to tell you what God's will is because, listen, I'm not God. But God knows what is perfect for you, and learn to be patient. I can see Samuel now. He's going through all of them and he's wondering, what in the world? But he found out there's another. And God used that of that decision in waiting on God. Hey, there's the principle of making good choices, the patience of making good choices. But then look at this, the problems. The problems of making good choices. Now listen, I want everybody to hear me very well. You better believe there were problems with this decision that Samuel made. There were decisions. See, as a result of making a right choice, there was a problem. Folks, please hear me and hear me well. Making right choices is not always an easy choice. In fact, I'm here to tell you, you'll probably get criticism. I mean, you've never been criticized, have you, brother? All you preachers, raise your hand. Keep them up. If you've never been criticized, put your hand down. Can I tell you, when you make right choices, you're going to find out the world. You may even find out believers might criticize. Can I just lay out this story here? Here's Samuel. He's announced that he's coming. We even read in our passage here tonight that when he announced it, that the people became afraid. And then he told them that he was going to offer a sacrifice. And then we read that the whole town shows up. It's not just Jesse. It's not just the boys. The whole town shows up. Listen, I've also got to believe Mama's there. She's there and they're all there. And Jesse's excited when he finds out that the next king of Israel is going to be anointed. It's going to be one of his sons. And they start walking one by one. And with each and every one, Samuel does not anoint them. And probably Jesse starts himself getting a little frustrated. And all of them walk by, all seven. Hey, notice who's not there. David's not there. By the way, I got to thinking about this. I got to think about it. As soon as Jesse found out that one of his sons was going to be the next king of Israel, why did he not immediately send off for David to come? I think maybe could have been maybe a little bit ashamed. See, David is the one who's keeping the sheep. Now, by the way, we always love the fact that David is a shepherd. We love that. But yet in that day, one who kept the sheep was the low end of the totem pole of jobs. It was a dirty job. It was a hard job. It was a lowly job. And so they had sent David. So maybe, and I can't prove this, but you can't disprove this. This is my opinion. But I believe maybe Jesse was maybe a little ashamed of that of David. And then when finally Samuel says, go get David, these guys probably start getting a little bit hot under the collar. In fact, look at verse 12. And he sent and brought him in, talking about David. Now he was ruddy and with all of beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. Then notice this. Maybe you ought to underline. And the Lord, what's that next word? Said. Again, can I just remind you of the principle? Do what God says, not what you see. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then look at verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, notice this, in the midst of his brethren. Can you imagine the jealousy? Can you imagine maybe even Jesse disagreeing with this? Definitely Eliab, Abinadab, Shema, all the other brothers, we don't know their names, but they're all hot under the collar. Folks, I'm here to tell you, there's going to be times that people don't like your choices. See, sometimes when it comes to having to make decisions, sometimes you're going to have to go against the grain. Sometimes you're going to have to go against the crowd to make that right choice. And sometimes you might even have to go against the family. But hear me and hear me well. If you can't learn to stand alone, you won't stand for long. Can I just give you an illustration here tonight? Brother Chample, thank you again for inviting me here. I hope you don't mind if I use an example. But can I tell you, Brother Chample, if I understand, you've been here 35 years. Just understand this. If this man of God, at a young age, had made wrong choices, he would not be here. If this man had made wrong decisions based on what he saw instead of what God said, this church would not be here. If this man had not made decisions that would have been God-honoring and Christ-obeying, those people who got saved this morning could spend eternity in hell today. Now listen, we're not trying to lift up this man other than to say, to God be the glory. He didn't mess up his life. He wasn't involved in alcohol, wasn't involved in drugs. He wasn't involved in these things as a young man. What age were you when you got saved? 10 years of age. As a young man at 10 years of age, and I don't know his testimony, but I know enough to know that as he was going through life, as he was being discipled in his home church, as he was being led by that of his parents, he determined one time, not knowing maybe the ramifications, but he started to make right choices. And as a result of those right choices, look at the victories. Look at the victories that God has brought. Look at the impact that has happened not just only on California, not just only on the United States, but across the world. And it started by making right decisions. Listen, young people, graduates, praise God for where you are. We celebrate with you. We congratulate you. We thank God that you've got to this place where you finished your course. When it came to that of this education at West Coast Baptist College, may I tell you, you still are going to need to learn. You're still going to need to study. You're still going to need to live right for God. And you're still going to need to make right choices and right decisions. Hey, Dad, Mom, you have children. Your decisions can determine the future of your kids. Listen, no matter where you are in your station of life, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, it behooves you, because of what Christ did for you, that you always seek out God's will, that you spend time in prayer, that you bathe yourself in the Word of God, so that when it comes time to make a decision, you'll already know what God has said about what you're about to encounter. Again, let's do what God says, not at what we see. Amen? Just a simple thought here tonight.